We're in first of
Okay, we're on Daf Yud Zayin today is our daf. We're going to start from, we're just going to go back for one quick second to the middle of the page, or it's sort of toward the top where the two dots are, and it says Amar Shmuel. I'm just going to compare this to the next statement. We're going to start really from the two dots about 10, 12 lines from the bottom, Amar Rabbi Yavao, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So first Shmuel says, Hamoseh Shtar HaKna'a B'Shuk. We're still in the concept of, right, we took a little break, we went into all these things about, you know, land that was Meshu'abad stealing, etc. Now we're back to our topic about if you find a shtar in the street, which obviously connects to the whole thing of Eilu Mitziot and, you know, Shnayim Ochazim B'Tali, in other words, Mitziot. So you find a shtar hakna in the shuk. You remember what a shtar hakna is? That's a shtar where it says, I am a shabe my nechasim for a loan, but even if you didn't actually do the loan, the shtar is a good shtar. Because you said, right now, I'm already mishabim anechasim to you. I'm leaning my property to you. So, yachziru labali. Okay, because he says, de'imishum de'katav le'lava ve'lo lava. Right, that's not a concern. Maybe he never ended up taking the loan, because ha'aredi shibed nafshe. De'imishum pira'on, what does Shmuel hold? We're not choshesh le'pira'on, right? His whole concern. He says, we're not worried that that it was already paid back. De'im ita de'pari, because if he had already paid it back, mikra hava karele. The assumption is he would have ripped it. Right? Always it's going to be, this goes back to way back when we started as Amu'a Lo'olam, it's a matter of who's more responsible than the other. His assumption is the lova would have ripped it up, and the opposite opinion is going to be, well, the malva would never have lost it if it had been paid back, you know, if it hadn't been paid back yet. And therefore, lo choshashim l'peira'om, we're not worried if, you know, the malva, one second, let me say it right, the malva hadn't, right, the malva would make sure not to lose the shtar if he was actually owed the money. And therefore, if we find it in the shuk, it must be the guy already paid it back. Because otherwise, the malva would have been holding it still. Okay, so those are the two sides. Either the lova would have ripped it up, and therefore, we're not worried it was paid back. Or the malva would never have dropped it if it was paid back, actually. And therefore, we assume it was paid back. That's the flip. Okay, that's going to be the next opinion. So, Amar Rabbi Abau, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamotzei Shtar Chov B'Shuk, even if this was ratified by the Beit Din, that's hempik. The document, it goes to the court. The court says, the signatures are good. This is before it drops. Okay, the signatures are good. Everything's good. It's got like a stamp of the court. It says this is good. Even though that exists on this shtar, lo yachziru lebaalim, okay? Lo mebaya, you don't even need to ask the question, hecha de lo katub bo henpik. For sure, if it wasn't ratified by the Beit Din, de'ika lemeimar, because then what could we say? Katav lelavo velo lava, maybe he never actually took out the loan. Ela afilu katub bo henpik, even if we're sure that the loan actually happened, okay? Which would then disagree with, this is kind of similar to the shtar hakna'a of Shmuel. Okay, the first case isn't, because if you didn't have a henpik, well then even Shmuel would agree. But, because maybe he wrote Lilavot, he never did. But even if it has a henpik, umayni, and what is henpik, in case you didn't know, I already told you, but in case you didn't know, it's dimikuyam, that the Beit Din was makayim the shtar. Lo yachzir, dechashin on the peraon, says we're concerned, again, the malva never would have dropped it if he was still owed the money. So that's two opposite opinions. Etive Rabbi Yirmiyah le Rabbi Abau. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a question of Rabbi Abau, who passed down this halacha name for Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah says, okay, this is going to be before we tried to bring this as a proof for Shmuel in yesterday's stuff, okay? So now we're going to bring this obviously as a question to Rabbi Yirmiyah. What does this mean? Any ma'ase beitin, okay, hareze yachzir. Okay? So anything that the beitin, you know, this would be again like a ratified document, it says hareze yachzir. And what does he say? Lo yachzir. So how could he go against an explicit Mishnah? The Mishnah says you return it, he says you don't return it. So Amarle, Yirmiyah Berei, he says to him, Yirmiyah, my son, he wasn't his son. He was saying, my son. Lo, like a lashon chiba, you know, loving way. Lo kol ma'aseh beit din shavim. Not every time there's a ma'aseh beit din is the same. Ela, what's he basically going to say now? When it talked about the ma'aseh beit din, hareze yachzir, what was the case? Kigon shuchzak kafran. It was a case where the guy was assumed already to be a liar about this kind of situation. In other words, he had already lied some other time. So when the lova says, I paid it back, we don't trust him. And therefore, we return it. So when he now takes his mishnah, what does he say? That's only if the guy was believed to, was already chuchzak to be a liar. So I'm a Rava. Just because he was deemed to be a liar once before, are we going to assume now that he never pays back loans? In other words, why? Just because somebody maybe told some sort of, you know, non-truth, does that mean he's not going to pay back the loan? Like, we're assuming for sure it wasn't. Remember, because what's on the flip side? We have, this is, again, it's a balancing act. It's like a seesaw. On the one hand, this guy is somewhat, you know, has lied once before. On the other hand, if we found this in the street, the malva lost it. Again, we assume the malva never would have lost something. That's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. The malva never would have lost it if he was still owed the money. So, you know, which one's going to weigh heavier? Like, why should one weigh heavier than the other? Ela amarava. So therefore, he says this isn't the case. Koma sebeitin areza lo yachzir is talking about matnitin. This mishnah is bishtar chal tatava drachta ukid Rabbi Zera. Like they answered the question last time. They said we tried to bring this as a proof, and they say it's not a proof. This time they say we tried to bring this question. It can't necessarily be a question because remember we're talking about the flip shita. So what are we talking about now? Both here and there. There's some people who don't have the nusach of an adrachta, because an adrachta doesn't really fit the category. What's the issue here? A shtar chaltata is a shtar where it says if they foreclose on your property. Foreclosure on your property means the property is already in the hands of the other person. So if we find a shtar of a foreclosure, so either the guy already has the land, in which case the shtar is just proving it, or the guy doesn't have the land, in which case the foreclosure document gives him the land. But there can't be a double payment. You follow? You can't doubly pay the same piece of land to the guy. So when it's money, so maybe it was paid back and we have no idea, but when it's land, the land is either his or it's not his. The only way there could be a double payment is if he sold it to the guy in the interim and then tries to use the shtar to get it back. But then the guy should have a shtar mecher. You know, the other side should have a shtar mecher to show for it. So therefore, a shtar chaltata would be a case where this whole issue wouldn't be relevant. And that's the koma sebeitin areze yachzir. It's in a shtar chaltata. In a drachta is where the court says you can go and demand the money back. We saw this before a while back and also came up in yesterday. But what does it mean? So there it's a little different, because there it's a shtar that says you have rights to go take property from this guy, but it's not specific property, and there could be a double gviyah, and that's why it doesn't make so much sense, and some of the nuschaot don't actually have it, and that works better in my mind. Uchid Rabbi Zera, just like Rabbi Zera said it earlier. V'kafran, so now it's not a huchzak kafran, right? It's a shtar chaltata. But now we're going to talk about this kafran case. V'kafran ho'il v'atza liyaga ne'ma be'milta. Okay, so now he says, well, since we were already on the topic of a kafran, I'm going to teach you something about it. Da'amar of Yosef Raman, Yume Amar of Nachman, Amrulo, Seitenlo, Va'amar Parata. We're now going to distinguish, just to give you a little reka, we're going to distinguish between a case of Seitenlo and a case of Chayav Atali Tenlo. Okay? Now, the court says, go out and give him, or the court says, you're obligated to give him. Now, it's very unclear, but we kind of don't really understand exactly what's the difference between them and how is this relevant, okay? So it's going to be a little confusing because of that, because nobody really understands. But the assumption is that seitenlo is a command. You have to go give him, even though chayav sounds like you're obligated, right? But chayav atalitenlo is more like an earlier stage where the beitin hasn't yet made their decision, and they're saying, well, you're obligated to give to him. And if the guy says, well, I'm not going to, then they're going to say seitenlo. You have to. Okay, so in other words, the assumption is if they just say chayav atalitenlo, then we're going to basically have to look into, the beitin's going to have to look further into it when the guy says no, and then they're going to have to be mevarer more, and then maybe eventually they'll come to the conclusion that say tenlo. So although there's a little problem with this, so we're going to kind of stick with it, but it's, you know, it's not, it's a little debatable exactly what this is. So,
is it a problem if he says, I already paid him, not I'm not going to pay him? Because the question is the lie.
Which is a lie? Still, it could be a lie either which way. If you say, I already paid, maybe you're lying. And if you say there was never a loan, then also you're possibly lying.
The fact that they've already said chayav.
Well, chayav just means, so chayav means you have to pay him back. Because, look, we have a shtar. Then the guy might say, well, the shtar is mizuyaf, it's foraged, and then they have to go look into it. That's like their initial statement. This guy claims you have a loan, he's got a shtar, so pay him back. And the guy has rights to say whatever he wants. The question is, do we believe him? So if Amru tzeitein lo v'amar parati, then he's believed. Okay? He's believed to say, I paid it back. But ba'mel malve lichtov, so if the malva then goes to a different court and says, I want you to write me a shtar adrachta to be able to get back this loan, they don't write And they don't give him a shtar drafta because the guy said parati and he was believed. But if they say chayav atalitein lo va'amar parati, eino ne'eman. Okay, but if he says you're obligated to, and the guy says, no, I already pay back, then he's not believed. And therefore, in ba mava lichtov, kotvim v'notnim. Now, according to what I understand, I explained, this is somewhat difficult. Okay? Because right, the assumption is here that the fact that the Beit Din needs to... Okay, so the first way of reading this, we're going to see a whole different nusach of this, which is going to make a little more sense than this one. But the first understanding is that because the Beit Din needs to say chayav atalitein lo, shows that he doesn't want to pay the money back. And then, in other words, there's already an established thing that he doesn't want to pay the money back, and therefore, he's huchzak kafran. Okay, he's assumed that he's lying. Whereas, when they just say tse tenle, in other words, right, why is this, right, the assumption is that the Beit Din first said seitein lo, and then he said okay. But then when it comes down to it, in other words, because chayav atalitein lo was an earlier stage, so in earlier stage we can believe him. But what do we think now? When they said chayav atalitein lo, he didn't say parati. And now the Beit Din comes and says seitein lo. What happened? The first time the Beit Din said it, he didn't react. And only now that they're giving their psak seitein lo, he says, oh, I already paid back. He's not believed because he already, it's as if he said parati in the first time. In other words, because he didn't say lo, it's as if he said, you know, as if in the beginning he didn't say I pay back already. So therefore, we assume now that he's lying. That's the first way of reading it. The second way of reading it is like this. Rav Zvi, Mishmei Rav Nachman Amar, Bein Seitein Lo, Bein Chayav Atalitein Lo, Va'amar Parati, Ne'eman. He's always believed. We are not Huchzak Kafran. Bam Malva Lichtov Ein Kotvin Lo. Okay, and if the Malva, Bam Malva Lichtov Ein Kotvin Bino Nimlo. He wants to write Shara Drafta, we don't. We believe the guy that he said Parati. Ela Iika Lepaluge, Hachi Udiika Lepaluge. But if we're going to make a distinction, this is the distinction. Amru Lo Tseitein Lo. Va'amar parati. If he says seitein lo, and then the guy says, "Okay, I already pay back," ha'edim me'edim oto shelo parao. But then come witnesses and say, "We know the guy never paid it back." Now, how exactly could you have witnesses say that, right? So it's a bit of a debate. Either the edim say that they already made him swear. You have to remember, by the way, I forgot to mention this. The Eino Ne'eman issue is he has to swear a Shvuat Haseid. The question is, do we believe him when the Loves says Parati? I forgot to mention this. It's not just he could say, "Oh, I pay back." He has to swear. It's called the Shvuat Haseid. It's the Shvuah Midrabanan. He has to swear Midrabanan that he didn't pay. So the question is, do we believe him? Is he Huchzak Kafran? Right? Is he a guy we don't believe his Shvuot in court, or do we not believe him? So if the Rashi says that when we say he's not believed, in order for the Malva to claim the loan, the Malva has to swear. This is what we always say, we switch, right? We flip. When the regular person won't swear, then we have to flip it to the other side. So the Malva swears. So let's say, right? So Edim Yidimato Shelo Parao, it could mean that he claimed he said Parati, but then he wasn't willing to swear in court about it. So maybe, you know, that's what they're saying. Or, some people say even better, I think it's better, because it's better proof that he didn't. He claims he paid back the loan on a particular day in a particular place. And then the agent come and say, well, we were with you at that particular time in a different place, and clearly you weren't paying back your loan. So either which way, we somehow have testimony. Shelo parao. Then he suchzak kafran lo to mamon. But if you said, chayav atalitein lo, va'amar parati, va'edim yidim oto shelo para. Okay, so then, if they said, though, they give a psak, okay, that you have to give him, and he says, I already paid back, and then Edim says, shalo para, v'chazar v'amar, and then he later says, oh, really, parati, I did pay back the money, lo huchzak kafran, lo tomamon, he's not considered a kafran, why? Now, this is something we've seen before, that sometimes you don't assume someone's lying if they had some ulterior motive. And what's the point here? Since we're at the later stage, we're at this point, he's got it. Wait. It's the opposite. I just got confused. The chayav atalitein lo, right, is not the psak. Sorry, I said it the opposite. Since it's not the psak, so he was a little bit wishy-washy, because why? My time. He was just trying to push them off. When they said Chayav HaTalitin, remember, what did we say is going to happen? They're going to now go and look into it and do some further research. So he figures, I'll push them off for a little while. I'll get the loan pushed off until I get some money. Okay, so that's the assumption. We've seen this before. Savar, he figures, until they look into it, I'll get the money. So therefore, if he said, he didn't say, I didn't pay it back, and then later he says, I paid it back, we don't assume that he was lying, right? Because we assume, if he says, I paid back, and then the Edim say he didn't pay back, and he still claims, I paid it back, so we don't assume he was a kafran. We allow him to take this shvua because we say that maybe earlier he was just pushing it off. Okay, and therefore he's believed now, though, to say what he wants. So now, I just want to point out, the Ritva says that there's really no difference between Seitein Lo and Chayav HaTalitein Lo. Okay, which actually makes a little more sense, because to think that the Beit Din was so careful in their Nisuach. So he claims that it's just a matter of what the defendant thought when he heard those words. Did the defendant think it was final, or did the defendant think it was an earlier stage? It's all about what he thought, because all we care about is what was in his head. Was he just trying to push them off, and therefore we don't look at it as a real lie? It was just like buying himself some time. Or did he think it was a psak, in which case he would have taken it seriously, and he wouldn't have lied, okay?
This says the average person does not distinguish between the two statements of the court in regard to the words you're obligated to pay as a court order, therefore the debtor's claim that he paid is believed. So he's going to hear it as an order no matter... It's again, the Rosh is talking about what...
Then what's the distinction, then, according to that?
He says that there isn't a distinction. The average person doesn't distinguish between them, that's the Rosh.
Okay, but if he doesn't distinguish, there has to be some distinction between... In other words, either the court is distinguishing or the... defendant's distinguishing. Say no one's distinguishing, that doesn't make sense.
Hears it as an order.
Okay.
Either one.
Okay, but then that doesn't make sense with the Gemara, that he would just be pushing it off. I don't know. I have to look into it better. Okay. Amar Rabba Barbar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Mana li biyadcha. So now we're going to get into other lying cases. The guy says, you have money of mine in your hands. V'hala omer, ein lecha biyadi klum. I have nothing of yours in my hands. And Edom comes and say, you absolutely do. And then he says, okay, fine, I did, but I paid it back. So obviously, okay, he's considered a liar when it comes to this moment, and he can't take it. Kiha, here we're going to show a case, just like the case of Shabtai, Berei de Rav Marinus. Katavla Lakalte, okay, this guy Shabtai, he wrote for his daughter-in-law, Itzila de Milta Biktubata, Vikibla Ale. He wrote in the Ketubah. Now, this, again, different opinions exactly what this is, but let's just assume. I think it makes more sense to say the woman brought in Itzilit is like a cloak. She brought in a cloak to the marriage. She wrote it in. Remember, all the woman's property, while the husband's alive, he gets use of it. So she brought it into the marriage, and now, in the event of divorce or death, she's going to take it with her. So in this case, the father-in-law, okay, her husband's father, promised that he would be a guarantor for this itztalit. Okay, it could be he guaranteed the whole ketubah, okay, in the event that his son doesn't pay up. So, what happened? Irkas ketubata, she loses her ketubah, okay? Amar le, I think it's le, right? Where's the, right, Amar la, sorry. He says to her,
this is Amar lehu.
It does, but it's a mistake. If you look, there's a star on the side, it should say, La, that's mine, has it. Anyway, Amar La, which makes sense, he says to her, Lo hayudvarim me'olam, this never happened. Okay? I don't know what you're talking about, right? There's no ketubah to prove it. I didn't guarantee this. Atu sa'ade va'amru in katavla. Right? The witness has come and said, yes, he did write it to her. We saw him sign the ketubah. Lesof, Amar lehu pratiha. Then what does he do? He comes and says, okay, fine, I did write it, but I already paid it back. Answer the Kamei de Rabbi Chiya, Amar lei, Huchzat kafran la'ota itztila. Okay, you're considered a liar when it comes to this issue, and we're not going to believe you. Notice, by the way, in all these cases, we're only assuming they lied about this particular thing. We're not making them into liars in general, which is a good question. Why not? Once he lies once, why are we assuming that he's not going to lie in other cases? I don't have a good answer. Amar Rabbi Abin, Amar Rabbi La, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If you're obligated to shvua for someone else, and you say, I swore, and the other guy doesn't claim he never swore, so you're believed. As we don't know anymore. Nobody has witnesses. There's no witnesses that saw the Shvuah, let's say. And you said Nishbati, va'edimi dimoto shelo nishba. But then, right, so in a regular case, if you said Nishbati, we'll believe you. But here, Edim come and said shelo nishba. Okay, again, exactly how they know shelo nishba, same thing as before. Huchzak kafran la'ota Shvuah. Okay, he's considered a liar again. Amru kamei to Rabbi Avahu. Amar lehu. Mistabra milta to Rabbi Avin. When they brought this statement in front of Rabbi Avin, he said, I think that what Rabbi Avin is talking about is shenitchayev shvuah bebeitin. That's only the shvuah that the beitin is mechayev. There's two different types of shvuah. We're going to learn a lot more about this, certainly when we get to Masechet Shvuot, even before that. That there's a shvuah that the beitin is mechayev you, and then usually you do that on a Sefer Torah or a B'Shem Hashem, and that's like a much more serious one. And then there's a shvuah that you could say to the guy, you're having a little, you know, argument, and then you say, well, I'll swear, and you just swear. And then it's like a, it's just an I swear. It's not, doesn't have as much significance. And also, you obligated yourself. Nobody told you you had to swear. So, if chiyev atzmo shvuah, then he's ne'eman. Okay? It's avid inish to mikre v'amar. Because some people just say those kind of things, but they can basically take it back. Okay? So if he says, I swore, and they say, oh, I didn't really swear. And since he obligated himself in the shvuah in the first place, we don't consider him that he was lying. It's again like before. It's just more like a little white lie. He was trying to just push the guy off and wasn't as serious. Hajua kamei de Rabbi Avin, amar lehu ananami bebeitin amrei. So they brought this statement back to Rabbi Avin himself to say, is that true that you were telling only in the beitin? And he says, yes, I was only talking about a shvuah beitin. And well, the more so, itmar nami, I'm Rabbi Avin, I'm Rabbi Elah, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. There's even a statement that they won't pass down that says it explicitly. Okay, there's another transmission of this same statement where it actually said it explicitly. Now we're going to have a different case. You find the shtar chov in the shuk. It's ratified by the Beit Din, and oh, it's today's date. Look at that. Now, what's the issue? Well, if you're going to assume that the loan was paid back, how many people borrow money for an hour and pay it back within the hour, right? It's very uncommon. Could happen. I mean, you're in the shuk and you need the money and, you know, but probably you might not, yeah, I don't know. It's unlikely, okay? And that's what the Gemara is going to say. So if kachubos mano bo bayom, yachziru lebalim, you can give it back to the malveh because the assumption is it wasn't paid back. Imishum, that's now what are our issues in general. If it's katav lelavo belo lava, hakachubohem pick, right? It can't be that the loan never happened because the Beit Din ratified it. Imishum piraon, and if we're worried there was already payback, lepriya bat yoma lo chashina. We don't worry that people are going to take out a loan within one day and pay it back in that same day. Amalei Rabbi Zeira leRabbi Asi. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi? Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that we're not choshesh that someone might pay back a loan within the day? Okay, when we're going to see a statement of Rabbi Yochanan where he is choshesh for that. Atu da'amar, you're the one who said, in the name, he says to Rabbi Asi, you, Rabbi Asi yourself, said Mishmei to Rabbi Yochanan, Shtar shalavavo upra'o, eino chozer velo vebo, shekvar nimchal shiyobudo. This is a good case, okay? You take out a loan, you lend someone money, and then he pays you back, and then he wants to borrow money again. So can you reuse the same shtar? Now, why would you want to reuse the same shtar? To save money. Well, not just efficiency. You want to save money on paying a sofer to write you a shtar. People didn't write their own shtar out, right? And to get a sofer to write it. So the loveh wants to save his money. So why can't you use this? Because it's on the loveh to pay the money. Shekvar nimchal shiabudo. What does this mean? This means that when we wrote the shtar in the first place, on the first loan, the Lovez Nechasim were Meshuabad right now to the Malveh. He had a lien on the Lovez property. As soon as the loan is paid back, there's no Shibud anymore. If we reuse this loan, we don't get a Shibud anymore because you're just, it's just like a stamp piece of paper. It doesn't mean anything. You understand? Because the loan was already paid back. So the Shibud is canceled. Maybe we can have another document, and then there's a big debate about whether you can even use this shtar to be goveh from the Chasim b'nei Chorin, okay, and it's just relating to the property, or maybe the shtar isn't even good for that. Okay, that's what he says. Doesn't work because nimchal shiabudo. Now, Eimat, what's the case here? Ilema lemachar u'liyomachara If the case is that the shtar was written for today and he paid back the money tomorrow or a different day, that's Yom Achar, is like Yom Acher, okay, on some other day. So why did he need to say Mipnei Shekfarnim Chal Shiabudo? What else? What would you have said more likely? Teipuk Le Dehavale Mukdam. It's a Shtar Mukdam. And what do we know? There's an explicit Mishnah that says it's no good. Utnan Shtarei Chov HaMukdamim Psulin. What does that mean? Right? I pay the loan, right? It says, Nisan, right? It says Nisan in the Shtar. The guy paid him back in Tishrei. Right? Let's go back to our previous case. And now he wants to reuse that same document. Of course he can't reuse the same document because now the mav is going to be gova nechassim from people who he sold property to in Nisan. And really, he's not allowed to do that because the only nechassim that were meshuabedim to the second loan are starting in Tishrei. So that's called the shtar mukdam, and that's a separate issue. So he didn't need to say the words mepnei shanim chal shiabudo. He should have said because it's a shtar mukdam. So the fact that he says, right, it's because of this, Elala proves that what must be they be talking about? Biyome. It was talking about a shtar that was paid back on the same day and he wants to reuse the same shtar. So it wouldn't be a shtar mukdam because generally they didn't write hours in the shtar. And really any nechassim from that day would be meshuabadim. So whether he paid back the loan, you know, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon and then took out another loan at 5 o'clock, it's not a shtar mukdam. Okay, maybe it's a little bit problematic, but it's not a shtar mukdam. So what do we see here? This was in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amapari and Shabiyama, you see that people do. He gave a whole halacha for people who pay back their loan within the same day. So Amarle, Mika Amina de lo pari klal. I didn't say nobody ever pays back a loan within the first day. But what did I say? De lo shchichi inshe de pari biyome. Ka'amina. And that's what I said was that it's just not common. And therefore, we're not going to be choshesh for it in that case. Okay, so that resolves it. Rav Kahana is going to give a different answer. Rav Kahana Amar, Kishachayev Mode. Okay, he's going to say that the case is, why did he say, Mepnei Shekvar Nimchal Shiabudo? Right, Shtar Shalavaba Upro, Eino Chazor Velo Bebo, because Nimchal Shiabudo. One second. No. We're talking about the case, the first statement he said. Right, Hayachayav Lachaver Shvuav Amar Nishbati Ve'edim Yedimoto Shalom Nishba. Wait, which one is he talking about?
He's talking about
the second case. One second, I have to remember where it goes back to. He's going back to. No, we're going back to this question about the contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Okay, how could it be? So he's going to explain, as we explained, that Mishnah must be talking about where it was within one day, right? So there you see, you do pay people back within the day. So now he's going to say no. He's going to say a different answer. So Rav Kahana Amar, Kishachayev Modeh. The case where Shtar Shalavaba Upra'o, Eino Chozer Velo Bebo, Shekvar Nimchal Shiabudo, is Kishachayev Modeh. One second. No, not that case, sorry. It's the first case, the Rabbi Yochanan, because of the contradiction, he's saying that the first statement, Hamotzei Shtar Chov B'Shuk, sorry, he goes back to the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Because of the contradiction, he says it can't be that it's within a day. Because you're right, Rabbi Yochanan is choshesh that people return within a day. So what's he talking about? That if you're Motzei Shtar Chov B'Shuk, Bekatu Bohempe, Bekatuz Bozmano, Baba Yom, Yachziru Labalim. Why? Why can you return it? Because it's a case where Kishachayev Modeh, right? This brings us back to that complicated sugya, right? Where the guy admits. So then they say, Ihachi Maila Memra. So then, obviously, if the guy admits, then we're going to give it back. In other words, the date is today. He said he took, right? Say he took out the loan. He said he owes the money. So, okay. So, obviously. So, ma'u detema, hai mitra pare. Maybe he really did pay it back. V'hai de ka'amar lo pratia, mishum de kabai mahadar lemitre beiz zmana zimna achwite, ulefshute de safra chayish. What's the issue? That maybe he's just claiming I didn't pay back the money because, again, he wants to use it for the second loan. He really paid back the money, but he wants to reuse it. He wants to save the money on the sofer. So, therefore, maybe it was a loan that, you know, maybe he really did pay it back that day, but he's lying, okay? In other words, he's lying to say, the chiddush is, even though the loves modeh, and you might think that he's modeh as a lie, because he really just wants to save the money. Kamashmalan, therefore, de inken mav, right? We're not choshesh. Kamashmalan de inken malva gufe lo shava. The malva will never let this happen. In other words, right? Usually we think that the lova is going to say parati, and right, and say I didn't pay it back. Now the lova is actually saying I paid it back, and the malva is saying no way, right? Don't. The malva doesn't want this back because what's he going to say? Savar shame berabanan umafsidi le. What's going to happen? The rabbis are going to hear, find out in the end. Let's say it turns out, right? Remember, this was written in Nisan, the Aleph Nisan, and it's now found in Aleph Nisan. The lova says, I didn't pay, you know, I didn't pay back the loan. I really owe the money. Why did he say it? Because he really wants to take a second loan from the guy and reuse this jar, which is great for him, but it's not good for the malva. Why? Because if anyone finds out that the lova actually paid the money back, there's no shibud on the land. Because what does he say? Shekfar nimchal shiabudo. And the malva, again, depending on how we understand this, will either never be able to get back the loan at all, or he'll only be able to get it from nechasim b'nechori, and the property lien is gone. Okay? And that will be really not good for him. So, now we're going to say, now we're going to compare this to our case when we said about last time. Maishna, what is this different? And what did we explain? You can't return them. Why? We explained, again, depending on how you explained it, but some people explained that it was a case where the lova admitted. Right? Well, the concern was maybe we'll have the wrong date. Below Amrinan, and we don't say deimke malva gufe lo shavik, right? Damarle tov shtari achrina b'tishrei didil mashamei rabbanan umafzedele. All of a sudden, right? If we have this concern that the malva will never let this go through, if the shtar is not a good shtar, because maybe someone will get onto him and he'll never be able to demand his money, well, then why don't we say the same thing in the Nisan and Tishrei case? Right? Wouldn't we assume that the malva also there, since the shtar says Nisan? But what did we say? It was really done in Tishrei. So which means that the malva can't get nechasim from Nisan. Now, he might try to, right? But if anyone's onto him, not only will he not be able to get it, but he'll be stuck. So therefore, why don't we say it there? So what are the answer? Amre hatamishim diile ravcha. There, right now, he's got an ulterior. It's good for him there. Because if no one is onto him, what will happen? Right? He'll be able to get away with an extra 6 months. You follow? But if it was, so therefore, so he leaves it. And he'll be quiet about it. But if it's a star that's written on the same day and the lova just wants to save some money on rewriting the star, the malva is just going to end up totally losing out. There's nothing for him to gain because the date's the same day. It's not like he's going to get any extra land. So therefore, right, ma'ika de katari plekucho b'starshin nimchal shiabudo lo shavik. Okay, since in that case, right, this star is going to be nimchal shiabudo and he's not going to be able to collect if they figure it out. And since if they don't figure it out, it doesn't really help him anyway, right? They say basically he's going to insist that they write a new star and he's never going to let this happen. Okay, so that's the distinction between the two cases. Okay, new section. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hatoen achar ma'aseh beitin lo amar velo klum. Okay, if someone claims something that's a tanai beitin, you remember we learned about a tanai beitin? That's like a ketubah of a woman, right? That even if you didn't write it, it's as if it's written. So if somebody claims, there's no, you know, I've never wrote my wife a ketubah, so we obviously don't believe him. My taima, kol ma'aseh beitin keman dinakit shtar biyadei dami. Okay, or even if the beitin came out with a psak, public psak, right? The assumption is a psak of the Beit Din is public. And they say someone owes money. So even without a shtar, he can demand that, okay? Anything that's you know, document, like, it's something that the Beit Din says you have to do. So, Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. So this was, right, this was the statement that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And now he questions Rabbi Yochanan. Belo Mishnah Tenu Hizo, isn't this not a Mishnah? In which case, why are you teaching this halacha? Hotzia get ve'eni mo ketuba gove ketubata. If she pulls out a get and says, she goes to the court, she gives a get, and she says, here's my get, but I don't have a ketuba, she's allowed to demand her ketuba. So Amarle, Ilav de Dalailach, Chaspa, Lomishkacha Marganita Tuta. If you hadn't revealed to me, if you hadn't given me this piece of, this shard of pottery, then I wouldn't have found the margin. If you hadn't picked up this shard, right, I never would have found the pearl underneath. And if you hadn't questioned me, I never would have understood this the way I understand it now. So Amar Abaye, my Marganita, what's the big, you know, pearl that he found underneath by his questioning him? Right? He didn't say exactly what it was. So now Abaye, a few generations later, is trying to figure it out. Dilma bimkom she'en kodvin k'tuba askinan. To get hainu k'tubata. Maybe the Mishnah was only referring to a place where they generally don't write k'tubot. In which case, her get functions as a k'tuba. Aval bimkom she'kotvim k'tuba. But if there's a place where everybody writes k'tuba, and as you can see, that there were different practices. Mm-hmm. Since a k'tuba is a Tanai Beitin, so some people just never wrote the k'tuba. So if it's a place where they never wrote the ketubah, so then she can use her get. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. But if it was a place where they generally write ketubah, so then, inakita ketubah, gavya, ilo, lo. Just like the malveh. In other words, show your ketubah. The assumption is if you don't have a ketubah, it must have been paid back to you. So hadram arvaye, but then Abaye says, no, lav milti damre. That's not true. I take it back. De'i salkada atach bimkom she'en kotvim ketubah, askinan, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is only referring to a place where they don't write a ketubah, aval bimkom shekotvin ketubah inakita ketubah gavya ilo lo. So if you're going to say, though, in a place where they write a ketubah, you have to produce a ketubah, and if you don't, you don't get your money back, then almana mina erusin b'mai gavya. Then we're never going to have a way for an almana from the erusin. Okay, now we have to translate some terminology that maybe you remember, maybe you don't. Erusin is engagement, right? What does that mean? It's about a year before they get married, they would get engaged, halachic engagement, which we now do under the chuppah. It's the Birchat Erusin, which means that she's forbidden now to everyone. Now, in general, they didn't write ketubot at that point, okay? However, in the event of divorce or death, the husband is obligated to give her the ketubah money. So now the question is going to be, well, if it's a place where they generally write ketubot, in Almana, from the Erusin, meaning she was engaged to this guy, and then he dies, how is she going to get her ketubah money? Because...
Why is that a problem?
So because she doesn't have a shtar. Because if we say that in a place where there's a ketubah, everybody writes ketubah, the only way you can get your ketubah money is by producing a ketubah. Generally, the ketubah wasn't given to the woman until after they got married. So... So now they say be'edim mitata baal, right? What could she be gova with? With the edim that say he died. So lidon v'lema pretia, they can say, but we gave back the money. Since we say in a place where you have to write a ketubah, if you don't show ketubah, then maybe the assumption is it was already payback. And if you want to say, well, you're right, in that case, you're right. And Almana from an Erusin can't get her ketubah because the Yorushim can say he already paid it back. So you came, Mahuilu Chachamim B'Takanatan. Then what was the point of their takana of allowing, right, saying, Kol Ma'aseh Beitin, Kamanda Nakat Shtar B'Yadeh? So Amarle, Markashisha, Beredo of Chisel Rav Ashi. V'Almana min Erusin, Di'it La Ketubah, Minalan. So now he says, so how are we going to prove that an Almana min Erusin... I just want to get the flow for a minute. Give me a minute. So we had, let's just go back. Rabbi Yochanan said, I just want to go back to the very beginning. Hatoin achar ma'aseh beitin lo amar klum. Because kol ma'aseh beitin is if he has it in his hands. Then they questioned him from, why are you saying this? It already says it in the Mishnah. The Hutsi Agabeni Moktuba Gvak Tubata. So they say, no, because... Right, so wait. So then Rabbi Yochanan said, you're right, it is a Mishnah, but if you hadn't asked me this question, right, then... So wait, maybe I explained a drop wrong. According to this, it says... One second. If I hadn't said... Okay, it works a little differently. That's why I explained this part wrong. What Rabbi Yochanan said is, If I hadn't said Atoena Charma Seh Beitin Lo Amar Klum, then you wouldn't have known the halacha that would come out of it, which is the one I'm telling you. In other words, you're right, it comes from the Mishnah, but you might have misunderstood that Mishnah and thought that that Mishnah... Okay, so now the question is, what did he mean by that? So Abaye says, you might have thought that that Mishnah was only talking about a place where they write a, where they don't write a ketubah, right? B'mkom she'ein kotvim ketubah. Okay, but if they write a ketubah, then you would still have to show your ketubah. So because I now made my statement, now you know that that's not the case. That's the first thing Abaye says. But then Abaye says, no, that's not true. Because you can't assume that we would have thought that. Because even in a place where you don't write a ketubah, it has to be, sorry, even in a place where, right, that the Mishnah was Mekom She'ein Kotvim Ketubah, but if you wrote a ketubah, you have to produce your ketubah. We never would have thought that, because otherwise there would be no way for an almana to get her ketubah from the Erusin. And if you want to say, that's no proof, because maybe an almana from an Erusin doesn't get her ketubah, if she really, if the guy dies. So we say that she does. Okay? That's because otherwise, imkei maho ilu chachamim b'takanatan. In other words, she does. So now, what Mark Ashisha is coming to do, and we're not going to finish with this today, is how do we know, in other words, what was this whole thing was premised on the assumption that an almana from an Erusin gets her ketubah. So now we want to know, how does an almana from the Erusin get her ketubah? So I'm going to mark Kashisha Breder of Chisler of Ash. If Amana Mina Erusin, do you look Ketubah Minalan? Because remember, if you didn't even write her a Ketubah, how could she get rights to her Ketubah? You might have thought it's only once they get married. So Ilem Amehaditnan, if you want to say, this is, we're going to kind of bring things and reject them. That's why we're not going to finish with this today. If you want to say it's from this Mishnah, Nit Amrala, O Nit Garsha, she gets widowed or divorced. If you remember, we learned this way back when, that even Erusin, right? You need a divorce from the Erusin. So Nit Almala, O Nit Garsha, Beimina Erusin, Beimina Nisuin, Govat HaKol. Okay, now, what does this Mishnah mean? It means, if you're widowed, or you get divorced, whether it's from the Erusin, or whether it's from the Nisuin, you get everything. What does everything mean? Everything means the Ketubah, okay, which is, if you're a widow, then you get, if you've been married already, or a widow or divorced, you get 100 zuz. And if you're a betula, you get 200 zuz. That's the ketubah. Plus, what's hakol? It's not just the ketubah, otherwise we would have said the ketubah. Plus the tosefet. Remember, generally we add some other amount into the ketubah. Okay, this is what people do. You know, they sometimes, it's like a little show-offy. People add like a large amount, and then everybody listens under the chuppah to hear what's the amount that the guy added. And like in certain circles, that's what they do. It's like a show-offy thing. Oh, look how much he promised her in her ketubah. Okay, other people just add a very standard tosefet ketubah, and that's generally what's done. It's not so common what I was just explaining, but there are communities where that goes on, and people all, you know, listen when they read the ketubah. Oh, how much money did he promise her? But generally, we just do a typical tosefet. I think it's another matayim zuz. I think that's what it is. Oh, I don't see flamin delay. I think it's another Me'akesef Zkukin, which is the Matayim Zuz, if I remember correctly. Okay, so anyway, if you're going to say we learn it from there, Dilma, maybe that Mishnah is only, what? And then it won't prove anything. Dikatavla. That's only in a case, remember what I told you. Generally, from the Erusin, he doesn't write a ketubah, but sometimes he might. So when they say Goveh Takol, and at first we want to say, here you see, Goveh Takol, she gets her ketubah, even if it wasn't written. Okay? She even gets the Tosefet. But maybe you want to say, it's the Katavla. Okay? The Chitema Maila Memra. Well, if you're going to say it's the Katavla, he wrote it for her, well then, what's the Chiddush? Obviously, she's going to get her ketubah. In other words, there's absolutely no Chiddush if it's Katavla. So you might say, no, it's la fuke mi de Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria da'amar shelo katavla ela almanat lekonsa, and therefore it's derichale. In other words, now we're going to say you can't use this as proof because maybe this is only a case where he wrote it. Well, if he wrote her a ketubah, obviously she's goveat hakol. What's the chidush? The chidush is the Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria actually thinks that she doesn't get her whole ketubah. She doesn't even get any of her ketubah. Why? Because even if he wrote her a ketubah when she was engaged, he only wrote it to commit to her in the event that they get married. But if they never get married, then he wasn't committing anything to her. In other words, it's like he writes it earlier on. This is like people who take care of things early. You know, sometimes you get messed up, right? So the point is, no, we're not going to mess him up because he took care of it early. He took care of it early to just get it out of the way. So that's what it was there for. And here's our proof. Daikanami dikatane. How do we know that it must be a case where he actually wrote her a ketubah, and therefore it doesn't prove anything if he didn't? Because dikatani gova'at hakol. So iamar bishlama dekatavla, haino dikatani gova'at hakol. If he never wrote her, ela iamar delo katavla, mai gova'at hakol. Manu matayim hudi'itla. There is no tosefet. If he never wrote her a ketubah, what kind of tosefet could there be? So if you're going to say that a woman gets her ketubah automatically, well then gova'at hakol doesn't make any sense. So therefore, this doesn't prove that every almana mina erusin has a ketubah. Because this must be only talking about if he wrote her. Okay, he wrote her a ketubah, and the gova'at hakol proves it. Because if he didn't write it, there's certainly no tosefet. Even though nowadays we generally put tosefet in, you can't assume there was a tosefet if he didn't put a tosefet in. In those days, not everybody added. So therefore, we're stuck in the middle of our question as the assumption of his issue was the almana mina erusin gets a ketubah no matter what. And we're still trying to figure out where that is. Tomorrow we'll finish that up.